Welcome to Talking Giants, presented by SeatGeek. I'm your host, Bobby Skinner, here with my co-host, Justin Penick. And man, if that felt like the craziest day in Giants history. Like, there's so much. If we actually just put in the title everything that happened, like we usually do, the title of this episode would be Giants Trade for Brian Burns, Sign John Runyon, Jermaine Elamunor, Devin Singletary, and Saquon Barkley plus Xavier McKinney walk and bring back special teamers. Justin, how are you?
Oh, boy. Bobby Skinner, you catch your breath yet? I know you haven't, and I know a lot of people listening haven't. First of all, sorry about my voice. I'm screwed up. Giants got me excited. Second of all, craziest, and like you said, the most action-packed day since, at least since we started doing this all in 2018 and 2019. The Brian Burns trade happens, and it's like, oh my God, what's happening? Everything's happening all at once. And then you have the Elamunor signing that happens right at the same time. You have Saquon and McKinney kind of all within that same hour and a half period together. And then the domino falls of Devin Singletary right after that. Everything was happening all at once today. First day of free agency is always, you know, usually a little bit crazy, and it's always kind of reactionary a little bit. But here's what the Giants did today, right? We're going to talk all about it. And we're going to break it down from a lot of different avenues, right? Here's what the Giants did today in a nutshell. The Giants went after premium positions and positions that they absolutely needed to address. They spent over $200 million while doing it and giving up three draft picks or two draft picks. They did that. It was the fifth round pick swap, but they did it. Every player is still in their 20s and everyone besides Jermaine Elamunor are in their mid-20s. And Elamunor's 29. Every player has a proven track record of not missing games and being dependable. I think Burns has missed two games last year. And then Singletary missed one. So it's three games combined that these guys missed last year. But obviously, and most importantly, adding Brian Burns, a player who is viewed as a young star. Joe Shane hinted at the combine that Shane Bowen's defense is going to stop the run on the way to the passer and really prioritize edge. Bobby, Brian Burns is seen as a star. The Rams were willing to give up two first-round picks plus a second-round pick. They prioritized this premium position, got their guy, paid him a lot of money. Let's break it down from all these angles.
Yeah, and I think next week, once the dust settles, we can talk about like direction of team, philosophy, and stuff. But today, it's so action-packed. A couple of things before we go individually into Brian Burns. One, the Panthers are like the dumbest team in the NFL, right? Like you said, they were offered a couple firsts. And then, hey, I understand that this contract is like, that's Brian Burns in reality probably doesn't deserve the second highest edge contract in the NFL. But they have no good players, and they should have done what they should have paid him this. I'm surprised they did this just for a second and a fifth round pick. You know, after trading DJ Moore last year, which was so stupid in the Bryce Young trade up. They got McCaffrey. They got rid of McCaffrey for, you know, not a ton of return. They just are a bad team. And anyways, Justin, you know, on our free agency preview on Friday, we didn't really go like pick players. But what we did say, I think the Giants kind of went by for the most part. Right now, there still needs to be added a lot of depth, and we'll see how that plays out because the Giants don't have much or any cap space left right now. But we said they got to go out and get a guard. Now, there was a lot higher paid guards that went out there. Get a guard. Swing tackle, we ID'd Jermaine Elamunor, who we didn't think we'd be able to afford him, honestly. I thought that deal was really well. And let Saquon walk, sign Devin Singletary. We talked about that. And then we talked about with McKinney that if you're letting McKinney walk, you're going to need to replace him with a player at his caliber at a more important position. And that's what they did with Brian Burns. So let's get into it.
But let me ask you this. The Giants spent over $200 million today. That's the most in the NFL. Did you think the Giants would be walking away from free agency day one being like, they spent the most in the NFL? Because me, it was no. No, absolutely not.
Absolutely not. And we can talk about this in the Brian Burns situation because, like, really like Brian Burns. But I don't think this is like the slam dunk move. Like, it's a big swing, and there is risk involved with it. So, but anyways, the Giants traded pick 39, They're a 2025 fifth-round pick. Not sure if that's the Giants or the one they got from the Seahawks or Leonard Williams. And then a fifth-round pick swap, I believe, this year for Brian Burns. And then signed him to a contract of 5 years, $141 million, with $87 million guaranteed. That's a 28.2 average annual value, second highest edge contract in the NFL. He'll be 26 next month. Justin, he's a very good edge player, but I don't think he's an elite one. And we talked about him on Football Today last week, but far of like what he does really well. And I did the film breakdown on him, like his get off and speed and just athleticism is unreal. And he's like, he's just a sudden player, right? He's extremely quick, whether it's moving laterally, his hands are quick. You know, he's got great, like, again, his get off is paired with good footwork. You know, he can bend the edge, not the bendiest guy in the world, but he can bend the edge pretty well. He's a very disruptive pass rusher. We'll talk about all his advanced numbers and all that, Justin, the things he needs to get better at. But to me, if we're going off of like career body of work, he's the Giants' third best player on the team right now after Andrew Thomas and Dexter Lawrence. Was Bobby Okereke, was as an individual last year, was probably better than Brian Burns, but body of work, Brian Burns is, he's instantly the Giants' third, or you can argue fourth best player on the roster.
Yeah, I mean, two-time Pro Bowler, his lowest sack total in his career is 7.5 sacks, and that was his rookie year back in 2019. Every year since then, 9 sacks, 12.5, and 8 sacks this past year, and I even have some questions on like how Carolina used him, how much he was dropping back into coverage, and especially sometimes I was watching that Giants-Panthers game from 2022, and it's like this guy's playing like off-ball linebacker and covering Richie James and Sterling Shepard in the slot. So there's certainly some questions on how Carolina utilized him too.
Well, I want to talk about how they used him, because there is times where they dropped him back in coverage and he shouldn't be dropping back in coverage, but they also gave him kind of free reign as a rusher. I mean, they lined him up as a wide nine almost every single down, right? Like that. And you don't like that, that doesn't always happen, and it can make you vulnerable versus the run. Bigger rush lane. So they did give him free reign to rush as well too, when he did rush.
Yeah, but this is a guy through 5 years of his career, almost 50 sacks. He's got almost 100 QB hits. He has double-digit tackle for loss over the last 3 years. So this is a good football player, Bobby. And the phrase is, you don't pay for a guy for what he's done. You pay for a guy for what he's going to do. And I think this is a risk. I think the people that are saying that, oh, this is a no-risk trade, and you know, there is some merit to, oh, the Giants basically just turned Leonard Williams plus maybe a fifth-round pick swap plus McKinney and Saquon's contract. They turned that into Brian Burns. There's risk here because they're paying a lot of money for this guy. They are, and there is risk when you do that. But I think they're trusting that Shane Bowen's system can get the most out of him. They're trusting that playing next to Dexter Lawrence, playing with Kayvon Thibodeau on the other side, I think this is maybe the most talented D-line that maybe Brian Burns has played with. So all of that will hopefully help, because looking at Brian Burns' numbers, like, yeah, they're good, but I'm expecting Brian Burns to really make this worth it for the Giants. I'm expecting Brian Burns to have an absolute career year with the Giants. Double digit sacks, 25 QB hits, and again, over, you know, 10, 12, 13 tackles for loss. That's how it's going to be worth it.
Well, let's talk about his advanced numbers and how that pairs with film, because I think it matches the film, Justin. And I've been watching Burns for a while. I was working on a video on him in 2021 that I didn't finish. So this is the PFF numbers, right? Sacks, 9 last year. That's ranked 28th for, and this is only for edge, not defensive tackles either. 9, which is 28th last year. 12.5 the year before, which was 10th, and then 9 the year before, which was 27th. Quarterback hits, 10 last year, 27th. 11 the year before, 23rd. 12 the year before, 15th. And then I won't do just pressures on its own, but just total sacks, pressures, and hit. Last year, 40, which was 53rd for edge rushers. 68 the year before, 12th, really good. And then 51 in 2021, 23rd. And then pass rush win weight, he's been 37th, 59th, and 77th. So he right now is more flash than consistency, right? But the flash is really, really high. To me, he needs to add more power to his game. It, not just as a run defender, because he does get moved off the edge by tight ends and stuff. And it's not because he's not playing the run and he's only going to pass rush. He has the good instincts in the run. He just gets moved. He needs to add power to his game, though, as a pass rusher, because you can't just win off of speed alone. You'll get sacks and you'll get quarterback hits, but you won't be in the top five or top 10 in those numbers if you're only trying to win off of speed and suddenness and quickness. He has to add an element of strength to his game to get to that next level, which, hey, he's been in the NFL, Justin, for 5 years. This is his sixth year. I don't think this isn't a guy going from year two to year three. I think he kind of is who he is as a player, but can get better in those areas. But he's not going to be the strongest guy. But if he just adds an element to strength, when you see him do it, work some speed to power and use that, yeah. He has good reps like that. I put in the film breakdown. Like, those are some of my favorite reps that he has. But he needs to be more consistent, because when he's playing average tackles, he'll get a couple wins. But there's a lot of just bland reps out there, right? Whether it's Terrence Steele or what was the other tackles? The Titans tackles who aren't very good. Like, there's a lot of bland reps out there. And then when he faces the elite guys like Tristan Wirfs or Andrew Thomas, he basically gets shut out of those games by those players, right? And so that's where I'm not like fully in love with this move, is that because you're paying him at the top of the league, which, hey, that's what happens when guys get new deals and they're top. But you also give up draft capital. So this is a lot of investment into a player who, to me, is not top 10 at his position, right? And we talked about this on Football Today last week. I would put him as like the 15th or 16th best edge. Now, there's a lot of great edges in the NFL, and he's, again, the Giants' third best player on the team. But he's not an elite player. He's a really good player.
And I guess the hope is, again, that you're paying for future production and you're not paying for past production. I mean,
he's going to get really good production. It's just got to get more consistency on a down-to-down basis. We have to add a power element. We got to be better in the run game. And hey, you can add strength, right? Maybe that's something the Giants can, focus on in this offseason. Like, hey, we want you to add a more power element to your game. But we're not talking about someone who's like a pro. Like, again, he's one of the best in the NFL. He's really good. He's going to be a disruptor. Like I said, he's the third best player on the team. And I still think there's reasonable room for him to grow as a player as he hopefully gets to the next level. Yeah. But I don't get stuck up on one or the other for the contract, right? Because that's what Brian Burns would go get on the open market. And no one would blink at it. If you saw he's traded for a second and fifth, but it is risky for the Giants, who are not in a win now mode, to do both of those things, if that makes sense.
Right. And I know you said you wanted to talk about, team philosophy maybe next week, but that's where I'm at too, where this guy's not a great – I don't think Brian Burns is a great player. I think he's a good player. And the Giants –
He's very good. I know we're playing like TV semantics right now. But he's a very good player, but he's not at the top. He's not one of the best in the NFL. Right. Like, there's a good gap between him and the Micah Parsons, Myles Garrett, and T.J. Watts.
Like, but he's getting paid. But he's getting paid like it. And plus, not only are you getting paid like it, you also gave up a second-round pick, which is – pretty valuable, and it's the second round pick.
And a very high second round pick too.
I think the trade was wound up great, like the value chart and however it's scored what all the NFL teams use. They wound up grading it as like a late first, early second, and that's exactly what the main pick was, right? I wanted the Giants to really this offseason kind of not do anything drastic like this. I don't disagree with this move. I think they got a premium position, a really good player, a young player in the NFL. And I think, Brian Burns is around the same age as Dexter Lawrence, I'm pretty sure.
He's like 5 months younger or something like that. Same. They were drafted one spot. It was Brian Burns, then Dexter Lawrence was drafted.
That's not the issue, but it's really just we've been down this road before of spending a lot of money day one of free agency, and it just usually just never works. Like, I kind of was expecting the Giants to take their medicine this offseason because Daniel Jones is on a $47.1 million cap hit and they don't believe in the guy. So take your medicine, lay low, make these signings at guard, make these signings at running back. But this is a really big swing, and it's on Brian Burns and it's on this coaching staff to really make it worth it.
Yeah, I'm not hung up so much on the money, more so because the Giants don't really have anyone signed through the future. Obviously, the newer guys that, you know, have 3-year deals. But it's basically Andrew Thomas, Dex, and Bobby Okereke, and then the 2023 draft class, like I think 2025, because, you know, they don't have a lot of good players. And then they let a guy like Xavier McKinney walk for, again, a better player at a premium position. My thing is the draft picks, because we can play the, well, what does these draft picks usually turn into? And, you know, look at the Giants' last two drafts. But for this team to get to the point where it's great, they have to hit on these draft picks. They have to. And a high second-round pick is very valuable, right? And they didn't hit the top of the guard market. We would like to see them make, you know, I was eyeing an interior offensive lineman at pick 39 because I think there's so many offensive line in the draft that a good one would have dropped there. Now that pick's not there. Now you've got to wait till 47. For the Giants to be good, it's not going to be because Brian Burns. It's because they're going to have to draft really well. Then right now, they only have 6 bullets for this year's draft. They're going to have to draft well, and they're going to have to draft better than they have the last 2 years under Joe Shane, right? Like, Evan Neal hasn't worked out. Kayvon needs to get to, like, the Brian Burns level. Like, that's my hope for Kayvon, is to get to the Brian Burns level. He hasn't done that yet. They have to hit on the draft, and they gave up a premium draft asset in the early second round pick. That's my thing, where it's like, okay, maybe we'll see what Danelle Hunter goes for. But hey, Danelle Hunter, and keep your second and fifth round pick, even though Danelle Hunter is obviously a bit older, but I think he's better and has a lot of tread on the tires despite being 3 years older.
But then the other side of that is the Giants. Odds are for Edge, and think of how important Edge is in Shane Bowen's defense. Joe Shane hinted it at the combine. You know, I said it at the start. The Giants ideally aren't going to be picking at the top end of the draft, where usually these really good edge rushers come off the board, right? Where the Kayvon Thibodeaux of the world go, you know, where the Myles Garrett, Aiden Hutchinson, right? Think of these top tier edge rushers and where they're drafted. They're not going to draft an edge rusher this year. Yeah, we're looking at wide receiver, we're looking at quarterback, right? Tackle, if you're in that boat. So you're not looking at an edge rusher, you know, that, you know, this year, and we don't want to be in a position where we're taking, you know, we're drafting in the top 10 again. So the argument is that, oh, the second round pick, Brian Burns, is that player at a premium position that you don't have to draft. And he's already there. He's already proven. He's already established. And I get and understand that argument. And especially at the premium position, like that argument for edge is so important, because usually, like I said, those players are taken in the top end of the first round, and we don't want to be picking there consistently.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why, like, when we talked about McKinney, like, all right, if you're going to let McKinney walk, I think you're going to have to get big game hunting at a premier position. And that's what they did. You know, if they let McKinney walk and then just kind of signed a guard and then some middling contracts and, you know, did what they did today besides Burns and then got, you know, depth pieces, then I wouldn't have been happy with that. But if you're going to get an edge, I am. But it's the both things together. Now, this is totally not off topic, but someone in our Patreon, I just checked the Patreon chat, and it's a thing I've been thinking about too. He's going to be an outside linebacker in this group, right? Jamie Boulin is the outside linebacker coach. I want Andre Patterson's hands on this guy, the D-line coach, if you're not familiar with him. What he's able to do with guys, and I think the things he needs to get better at, Andre Patterson can do. I would love to get a question for Brian Daboll the next time he talks to the media or Joe Shane. I mean, like, what is your thoughts on getting, like, Andre Patterson's hands on this guy and Kayvon Thibodeaux? Because I actually think that would matter a lot. I know this is a mailbag question, but it's something I would like to see.
No, and I'm with you, because one of the thoughts that I had while watching Brian Burns, along with wanting him to just play, you know, stronger, faster, kind of like more with his hair on fire, I want him to use his hands more. I kind of feel like he relies on that lateral movement a little too much, but he has these really nice plays where sometimes, you know, he's dipping his shoulder, he's bending a little bit, You know, maybe there's a hand swipe every once in a while. I want him to use his hands more.
And he has very quick hands. He's just got to time it up better and string the moves better together a little bit. But he has really good hand moves, though, too.
And I feel like that's what Andre Patterson did for Dexter Lawrence, is using your hands.
Yeah, and, you know, playing with more leverage. So, yeah, I would like to see that. I mean, do you have anything else on Brian Burns? The contract is more front-loaded than I thought it would be. The cap hit this year is 23.5 million. So you think about it, John Runyon's is the 7 million. So that's 30. I mean, the Giants, before you even include Jermaine Illuminor and Devin Singletary's contract, they only have $8.5 million of cap space left, and that includes draft class. So they're gonna have to move Dex's and Thomas's money around a little bit. But I was surprised to see the cap hits be spread so evenly with Burns. And maybe his gets restructured in training camp or something. We saw that happen with Daniel Jones last year, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'm done celebrating contracts that look good on paper to start. Like, oh, dude, we can get out of the Darren Waller contract. Oh, well, we need to restructure that. The same thing with Daniel Jones.
Burns is going to live out this contract because he's not an injury-prone player or a quarterback that played really bad.
Well, you know, never say never, Bobby, with this freaking football team. No, I will say, like, the one final thing, and that I was thinking about this, you know, we've nitpicked Brian Burns a little bit, and I said this at the start, where Brian Burns is seen as a young star in this league, and I think that's what kind of gives me a good amount of consolation. The Rams really think of this. The Rams, you know, get a lot of credit for being smart. They barely had any draft picks last year, you know, because of the Stafford trade, but they knocked out that draft. You know, they knocked it out of the park, right? And they draft Puka Nacua. They draft, a defensive tackle that almost gets double-digit sacks. They draft Byron Young from Tennessee, who almost gets double-digit sacks. They absolutely knocked that draft out of the park. They're a smart football team, right? They wanted to give up 2 firsts and a second. I didn't know about the second.
Yeah, that was 2 years ago when they unloaded McCaffrey. This isn't a Panthers podcast.
Right.
Their owner, they are genuinely the dumbest team in the NFL, like, by far. Like, they're going to – I feel bad for Panthers fans. And now that we're into NASCAR more, Justin, a lot of them are Panthers fans, and they're all like, what the hell is going on with this team?
Yeah. No, but I'm going to finish my thought. You know, we view the Rams as, like, a smart team. The NFL, you know, may view Brian Burns – as like, hey, if we can get our hands on this guy, maybe he can do more XYZ for us. And that's what gets me excited, because 2 firsts and a second is a haul. An absolute. And the Panthers felt so confident in Brian Burns that they said no.
I don't understand why the Panthers just didn't keep Brian Burns. It makes no sense. It really doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Again, you got a second and a fifth. You'll be lucky to get a Brian Burns with that. Like, anyways, it's a dumb trade for the Panthers. I don't get it.
Do you buy into the whole, the Giants basically traded Leonard Williams plus a fifth round swap and the salaries of Barkley and McKinney for Brian Burns? Because that's kind of like how my brain is formulating it right now.
Yeah, you can do. I view it as more as trading off McKinney, and I don't think they're going to re-sign Saquon any. McKinney and paying 20 million, like getting Robert Hunt instead of John Runyon. Like, I know that Leonard Williams was for a second and fifth, but once we had those are now our second and fifth round picks that are valued. So let's talk about John Runyon Jr., Justin, and then we can get into the Saquon McKinney stuff a little bit. The Giants signed John Runyon Jr., a guard from the Packers, 6'4", 306 pounds, 26 years old, 3 years, $30 million with $17 million guaranteed, which is one of the, you know, basically the cheapest guard contract that went after all the big money contracts of John Simpson, Robert Hunt, Michael Onwenu, Jonah Jackson. So the best, like the cheapest contract by far. With John Runyon, he has been a very efficient pass blocker after being drafted in the sixth round by the Packers at guard. He's played both positions, left guard and right guard. Right guard this past season, was battling through some injuries this past season and worked in a rotation with Sean Ryan towards the end of the season. as a pass blocker, and we'll go to the numbers too, he's got really good hand usage, right? Like, he understands pass pro, even though he's not the most athletic guy. He has strength issues, but he understands pass protection. Like, his hand usage is really good. He changes up his pass sets. He works, whether it's in space or jump setting guys. You know, fairly decent balance and plays, like, the center of the player, right? Where they're not, you know, they're not getting to one of his shoulders. You know, works side to side well, and then has the IQ for stunts and blitzes. But he does struggle as a run blocker. He's never going to be an advantage as a run blocker. He'd be like, we can work with this guy. And as a pass blocker, because of some of the physical limitations, Justin, when he does face the top guys, like, he didn't get a ton of reps versus Dex, but Quinnen Williams or Chris, you know, Jones or Aaron Donald, which he played those guys, he does get his ass kicked in those are his worst games. But he's been an extremely efficient pass blocking guard, you know, 2 sacks, 6 hits, and 13 pressures last year. And the numbers have basically been even his 3 years of starting. And he ranks 7th last year in pass blocking efficiency for guards, 10th in 2022 and 8th in 2021. Despite the fact that he's not the most physically gifted, he's been an efficient pass blocker.
Yeah, this worries me a little bit. I don't love him. I really don't. I really tuned into that. I rewatched the Giants game where it was Nacho and A'Shaun Robinson. And I think there were like three or four plays against Dex. And I think he replaces his hands very well, like you said. I think pass blocking, you know, I think he definitely does mirror well, keeps guys in front of him, keeps guys in front of his chest. And it really, I guess, as long as you're not a disaster as a pass blocker, like, you're not going to be a disaster of a signing. But I think he's kind of top heavy. He definitely does not move well, and maybe that even could go into pass blocking a little bit. It looks clunky and funky when he's working double teams and moving up to the secondary level. He really just doesn't look comfortable. Maybe that was injury related when I was watching it, but I'm happy that he's a solid pass blocker, but I don't know. Like, I feel like the Giants kind of got what they paid for versus some of these other guards that got, you know, closer to $100 million, right?
Yeah, Robert Hunt, I watched him. He's really good. I actually would have rather had Robert Hunt than Michael Onwenu when I watched them, because Michael Onwenu, I think, you know, his numbers were better at tackle. Watching Robert Hunt was like, okay, this is a damn good player here. So this is where it could get a little worrisome, despite the fact, like, this is a good value signing, right? Like, in itself. But the Giants had guard as their biggest need, and I don't think we look at guard after day one and like, oh, it's fixed. Obviously, some depth signing is going to be happening. You lose an early second round pick, and the Giants could be looking at bad guard play again.
Yeah, I mean, they just need another guard too, because they have Azudu who's coming off the season ending injury, and then you have Marcus McKeithen who stinks. So they need another body too. Forget the quality of play.
Which they will get another body at guard. Yeah, for sure. It's not gonna be more expensive than what John Runyon is. So you're not gonna get a very good player. But you know, they did work him into a rotation with Sean Ryan, which speaks on, you know, the Packers were fine letting him walk. I think offensive line coaching is going to matter. The Packers have great offensive line coaching. Hopefully, Carin Brasillo can be a good offensive. Like, if Bobby Johnson was the offensive line coach, I would be worried. Carin Brasillo is obviously to be seen with the Giants personnel. But yeah, he's not and the contract shows it, right? If this is basically what Mark Lewinsky got 2 years ago, when you think of the inflated cap, right? It's you know, $3 million more per year. And almost the same money guaranteed. It's $17 million guaranteed, so they can get out of it after 2 years.
Kind of opposite players, right? Where Glowinski was signed, and we're like, yeah, you know, pass blocking, not too great. Not too great. Could be a disaster sometimes. And then in the run blocking, he's like, oh, he's pretty good, pretty athletic, can move. I feel like these are like opposite players from each other.
Yeah, absolutely. So again, he understands pass protection. He's a solid pass protector, and I think he can get better too. When we're facing the top defensive tackles in the NFL, don't have high expectations for him. You know, now if he's working double teams on those guys and pass blocking, he does pretty well. But when he gets one on ones, those guys can make him look pretty silly. And then in the run, like when we talk about he just doesn't have the play strength for the run game.
No,
right. Even when it's like good technique and stuff, he's just not able to get any movement. You know, I think his athleticism is average, and he doesn't really get off the ball quick to get, you know, to make up for some lack of strength, where it's like, oh, he fires into guys and he gets a good initial pop. He doesn't do that, and he just kind of struggles to maintain blocks, you know, even when he gets good positioning in zone. You know, and he's not someone who's going to, you know, get out and pull and move very well in space. He's just, he is a below average run blocker, above average pass blocker, which I guess if we were asking for either or, we would take the pass blocking.
Always. I feel like you always take it.
But we definitely thought that the Giants, so this is where it's like when the Brian Burns, like, well, you're placed, I think they replaced McKinney and a top guard like Robert Hunt or Jonah Jackson with Brian Burns and John Runyon, which I think the top guard and McKinney is two better players, but obviously Brian Burns gives you the higher ceiling as a, you know, as an individual player.
I think
they still got to address guard, man. Yeah. Like, I think Ben Bredesen should be back. I think there should be at least two more guard signings of guys who have started games in the NFL and not gotten their ass kicked. And hey, pick 47. I'm hoping if there's an interior guy who matches, you know, the value there, I'm still looking at it because guard needs to be addressed, whether it's depth and starters, right? Like we need to have a better starting guard than John Runyon at some point.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And I could be wrong on this. I'm not fully convinced that, like, Joe Shane and the Giants, like, seeing how much Robert Hunt got paid, seeing how much Nwonu got paid, I'm not fully convinced that Joe Shane, I think he was in on guard because the Giants just need a guard. They need interior O-line. But I'm not fully convinced that he views that as a premium position.
No, I don't think he does. I think you look at Buffalo's track record. I think you look at with the Giants. I definitely don't think he does. Which I disagree with him. Now, at the same time, when those guys are getting those contracts, part of me is like, damn, I wish we could have just drafted some guards because I don't want to pay $20 million to a guard. Like, no. I don't want, like, I would much rather pay $20 million to, you know, a really good player at, you know, not 20 million, like an inside line. I'd rather pay an inside linebacker top dollar or a cornerback than guard.
Or an edge rusher that can get you 10 sacks, right?
But that's the Giants situation because they have not been able to draft and develop interior offensive linemen or any offensive lineman not named Andrew Thomas.
You know, and now you may see, I mean, you know, who's that? Christian Haynes from UConn, like? What pick was he available in your mock draft?
Third.
The third round pick.
There is like second round smoke with him, but I think interior guys always slide a little bit.
But they may not slide now because if you see these guys getting paid $100 million, you want these guys on the cheap for 4 years, right?
Yeah, that's true. Justin, the next guy that you got to invest big money to is DraftKings. The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here. And DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 and instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. It says March Mania. Do you think what it's actually called is like the whole you can't say Super Bowl thing?
Well, you just said it.
Well, we can say Super Bowl when it's not a Super Bowl promotion.
Sure. Yes, I think it actually is. That's exactly what it is.
Hey, Talking Giants bracket is coming up. I love doing that every year. I always have done fairly well because I just picked Miami to go to the Final Four and they went to the Elite Eight in the Final Four the last 2 years. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code WORLD. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code WORLD. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibility on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, responsibility, and gaming resources. You'll be glad you did. B-ball. Want to play some B-ball?
Breaking news.
Justin.
Breaking news. I have the John Runyon contract details. Did I scare you a little bit?
No, I actually thought that's what it was going to be because I referenced it as the first year's a $7 million cap hit.
Yes. Oh, so did we talk about it?
I don't know.
Okay.
We didn't break it down.
Okay, so here it is. 3 years, $30 million, $17 million guaranteed. $7.5 million signing bonus, blah, blah, blah. 2024 cap hit is $6.5 million. 2025 is $11.75 million. 2026 is $11.75 million. So if I'm doing my math correctly, since 2024 and 2025 add up to the $17 million guaranteed, this is basically a two-year contract.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And if the, you know, there'd be a dead cap hit of like $2.5 million because of the spreading yes. bonus if they cut him.
This is very much like we said. It's kind of Mark Lewinsky.
I know that the Giants signed other players we want to talk about, but Saquon and McKinney leaving are big deals. Do you want to talk about these guys next?
Yeah, I feel like we have to.
So Saquon's gone to the Eagles. He gets 3 years, $37.5 million, up to $46 million guaranteed, 12.5 average annual value at $26 million guaranteed. Really surprised he got that deal. Xavier McKinney gets 4 years, $68 million, 17 average annual value from the Packers. We talked about McKinney a little bit in the Brian Burns situation. With Saquon, the Giants were never going to come close to this number.
They didn't even offer, according to Ryan Dunleavy.
Yeah, and I think they made the right decision replacing him with Devin Singletary for the, you know, we'll break all that down. I know now there's back and forth with Tiki Barber and stuff, and I know there's feelings about drafting him second overall, but I did have, even though I'm, again, 100% on board for letting him walk, I did have some sadness when I realized, before he even signed today, that like, oh, it is over, you know. Played for the Giants for 6 years. I thought he was a pretty damn good soldier for the Giants. Was a very good player, you know, besides when he was coming off of the torn ACL. And I did a tweet Saturday night. I was thinking about it because we think about Saquon Barkley in the second overall pick and how that's a bad investment. Even with that, though, man, if the Giants weren't dog shit at evaluating offensive line talent, we would have been talking about one of the best, most efficient running games over the last 6 years. It wouldn't be a conversation of, oh, well, he needs better offensive line. Cause we would have, you gave Nate Solder the highest paid tackle contract. He stunk. Patrick Omame, you gave him 3 years, $30 million in 2018. They was cut before the bye week. Will Hernandez, high second round pick, doesn't work out. You know, you have day two and day three picks of Josh Azudu, Matt Parrott, Shane Lemieux, Marcus McKeith, and none of these guys pan out to anything. Andrew Thomas is the only one that has worked out. Mark Lewinsky doesn't pan out. You know, like, you just, so many swing and misses at the offensive line, and it sucks that this is the way it ended, with him averaging 3.9 yards per carry and us having to explain that he's still a good back, but they need to let him walk, and the running back is depending on the offensive line. We could have been in the same position letting him walk, but talking about how the Giants' off-run game was top five over the past 6 years. And I will always look back at that and feel bad for Saquon Barkley, even though, hey, he's going to the Eagles. He's going to be one of the highest paid running backs ever. But as a football player, as a guy who truly did want to win for the Giants, I feel bad that everything sucked around him.
I'm with you and I agree with you 100% with everything, but I'm going to go in a different direction. I feel like I've done a decent job. A lot of people are starting to catch on about how much people think that I hate Saquon Barkley, and that's not true. I don't hate Saquon Barkley. Because I agree with Bobby. Like, he's set up in a horrible situation. He's been set up in a horrible situation for the last, what, 2,000 days that he's been a Giant? Saquon Barkley and the decision to draft him is the first sign and the biggest sign. I think he is the face of the dysfunction that the Giants have had for the last half decade. He's the face of what is wrong, of what has gone wrong with this franchise. You know, because like you said, oh, well, if they only had better offensive linemen, they invested. And again, you're right. You're right. But that flawed process of thinking that you can start this rebuild, that you could start everything with Saquon Barkley, is exactly the reason why I feel like they couldn't properly evaluate offensive line. You can't do anything right. When that first decision, technically the first decision was giving Nate Solder that huge contract, but when that first decision, major decision of drafting a player with that second overall pick, when that's the decision that you make, I feel like that sets everything up for everything else to be wrong. So I think he's unfortunately the face of the dysfunction.
I think the face of it is the guy who drafted him, not
right,
him.
Right,
I
right.
think that's a...
The decision to draft him. The first ever content thing that I ever did, Bobby, was the 2018 draft, where I live streamed that draft to my friends on Instagram and my friends on YouTube, my friends on Facebook. And I used a karaoke microphone, and when they announced his name, I slammed my head in the microphone because I knew that it wasn't going to work. It was not going to work. And it's a shame. It's not his fault. I really like him as a player. I really like him as a dude. He worked his ass off. He had a lot of bad luck. Giants didn't invest around him. All that stuff is true. But I took a huge sigh of relief when I would have loved for him to go elsewhere to the Eagles. But I took a huge sigh of relief when it was finally over, because I feel like now we can move on past it.
Yeah, and it was time. It made sense, right? He's going into year seven. He's missed games every year. The Giants have not had a good running game three of the last 4 years with him here. Despite that, you weren't getting the investment. You weren't getting returns on the investment that you were putting into the running back position, because his ability to create explosive plays went down significantly. Numbers and eye test match that. So now he went to Philly, which is going to pull out of a lot of emotions. Well, I would say to this is that the Giants didn't offer him a contract. And then last year they did offer him contracts, but they weren't able to, budge, $1 million to make him sign. The Giants didn't prioritize keeping Saquon Barkley, which they shouldn't have. He can't turn that down. He cannot turn that money down as a human being. You can't do that. But I will be interesting to see how because he's sensitive. Like that's something we know about Saquon Barkley. He is very sensitive. He reads everything.
He already responded to Tiki.
But Justin, it goes. Tiki's a huge name. He's the Giants' best running back of all time. He should probably get in the Hall of Fame eventually. If not Tiki, he reads everything. And last year, I mean, he showed up at the training camp because he could not take the heat of people being like, "Why didn't you sign? Why didn't you?" Like, I'm telling you, it goes way deeper than the. The tweets that he has. He reads every little thing he reads. Yep. And it took 3 hours. It took 3 hours for him to not be able to deal with that. It'd be interesting to see how this relationship works, because he doesn't want to burn those bridges. And then with the Tiki Barber thing, this is why I say social media, people are the devil of sports media. I saw the clip of, Tiki saying, "Oh, he's dead to me." It was very playful, right? It wasn't malicious, like, "You're dead to me. How dare you?" But he's just like, "Hey, this is what happens. You're like, you're dead, we're not viewing you the same way." It was very playful. And then people screen grab it, or, to put it on a quote tweet, and Saquon responds to it. But the whole, Tiki was a hater from the beginning. Saquon's very sensitive and he hears every criticism. So Tiki's actually been very supportive of Saquon. But he also, when he was dancing behind the line of scrimmage early in his career, Tiki called him out on it. When he couldn't block very well in his early career, Tiki called it out, because he's in media and he's a running back. You should talk about that stuff. But if you look at the last few years since Saquon, started becoming north and south blockers, Tiki's been like a huge proponent of Saquon Barkley. And to see how sensitive it's not the play. Now, things are fresh and raw. Eventually, there will be. Giants fans will appreciate Saquon Barkley and welcome him back. He's not an all-time great. He's not a Ring of Honor player, right? But we'll all 10 years from now, we'll all view Saquon Barkley as a good player who was put in a shit situation. But you got to get through these 3 years without losing your mind every time someone in the Giants world criticizes you.
I'm going to be really interested to see what kind of player Barkley is, too. Forget the injuries. Forget, has he lost a step? I feel like Brian Daboll and this coaching staff instilled it in his head to go north and south. Instilled it. Where I think with the last staff, and even with, Shermer, he could do it. But the last staff, he was a little stubborn. He was a little stubborn, like, "I'm going to do me. I want to be me. I want to make these plays. I feel like I could do it." Mamba mentality. I'm sure that's a line that he'll actually throw out there. I wonder with the Eagles, what kind of coaching he's going to get, and if he's going to revert some of back to those bad habits. I got the line now. I got my money now. I'm in a better situation. Let me be me. Let me play hero ball. I'm going to be interested to see what kind of running back he is, or if he's going to stick to running north and south like he's been doing with the Giants.
He's going to play really well behind that offensive line. I'm surprised the Eagles were the team to do it, because they've been able to put average backs and have them have way above average production. Now, you lose Kelsey, right? So they're not – I do think that's a bigger loss than we realize. But they still have, you know, Mulata, Lane Johnson, Landon Dickerson got the big contract. We'll see how Cam Jurgens fares at center.
This feels like a Kellen Moore, like a kind of Kellen Moore driven too.
He's gonna produce. He's gonna be, as long as he stays healthy, he's gonna produce. And I'm not rooting for him, he's on the Eagles, but I'm rooting for him to have success in his football career besides this, without the success of the Eagles.
Yeah. McKinney, but more importantly than him, he's gone. I am rooting for the Giants to now have success without him. I mean, I think that's no shit, Sherlock, Justin, but I feel like that's the important thing now. And I think the Giants took a step with that of, you know, simply not even giving him a contract. They did go offer Tony Pollard a contract, though, apparently.
Yeah. But I don't, did they actually? I think they they weren't able to, like, Tony Pollard, like, what they offer him, I think they offered him the same thing that they offered Singletary. Xavier McKinney walks to 4 years, $68 million, 17 average annual value. When you're bringing in Brian Burns, that obviously takes that off the table. But if they weren't able to get Brian Burns, we don't know. Like, they did a good job keeping this shut. David Mulugeta is becoming one of the best agents in football. I would like to know what the Giants offered at the end of the day at this point, but when you get Burns, it obviously you're not going to bring back Saquon Bark or Xavier McKinney as well. But safety is a position of need now, and
huge.
Secondary's
in trouble.
maybe they'll have the best draft ever. We'll see. But I don't have a ton to add on the Xavier. We've talked so much Xavier McKinney that people know where we are at this point.
That hurt, because I was really excited for him in Shane Bowen's defense. I thought that he could return back to his box score stats that he had under Patrick Graham. And again, you're playing for a player, not necessarily for what he's done, but you're paying a player for what he could do. And I feel like McKinney would be the perfect player for that, because his stats were going to increase. His production was going to increase. He's a versatile player. He can kind of do it all, and Shane Bowen was going to let him do it all. So a little disappointed with that, but it is a nice little consolation that the safety market, there's really good safeties out there that I'm sure, maybe they can't even make a move for some of them. We'll see what they wind up doing. But $17 million, I thought he was going to get like 15 to 16. I'm surprised that he got that close to Derwin James and Minkah Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, with the inflated cap, I figured he'd get like either Jesse Bates or like right above Jesse Bates, which is what he ended up getting. Also, like, you know, this new cap space is cool, but the contracts have kept up with it. So it's not as much as you think, because the contracts have kept up with it. But this is, the Giants could have kept Xavier McKinney if they wanted. This is where the Daniel Jones contract hurts, though. It's not that, you couldn't keep McKinney. It's like, well, you can't keep McKinney and go get Brian Burns. If you didn't have that contract, you could do both. If they were in win now mode, I would say figure out a way to keep both players, but they're not. All right, Justin, let's talk about Devin Singletary or Jermaine Eluemunor.
Devin Singletary.
Yeah, we talked about the running back position. So Giants signed Devin Singletary. This is one that we all saw coming. 5'7", 203 pounds, 26 years old. 3 years, $16.5 million, up to 19.5. I don't know what he needs to do to reach that, with $9.5 million guaranteed. That's per me, by the way. Shout out me. So $5.5 million average annual value, which is middle of the road for the running back contract. I really like this signing. This is the type of signing the Giants needed to make if they were going to let Saquon Barkley walk. He's been a productive back, right? He's never been a bell cow back, 1,000-plus yard rusher, but he's gotten over 800 yards all of the last three seasons. He's had good, like, his yards per carry has been higher than Saquon Barkley's every single year of his career. You know, we'll talk about him individual as a player, but this is a guy who's got juice, right? You put him in a gap scheme, you know, he can do some zone stuff, but you put him in gas scheme, like, he's got really good in the short area, like quickness, making guys miss in a phone booth. you know, especially in the hole at the second level, like good contact balance as well as, you know, he can put the, you know, his shoulder down and run through a guy. He's not going to create a bunch of explosive. He doesn't have that home run speed. But he's a guy who could turn a 5-yard run into a 10-yard run, but he's not going to turn a 15-yard run into a 16-yard run. Obviously, the Giants' offensive line needs to get better for him to live up to what he's been doing, but he hasn't been playing behind the best offensive lines in the NFL either. He's played behind the Bills and the Texans, which have good, decent run-blocking offensive lines, but nowhere near great.
No, especially the Texans last year, especially when Laremy Tunsil's struggling with injuries week in and week out. And something to important to note with Devin Singletary, too. I'm pretty sure Damian Pierce started the year last year as their main back.
Yeah, and then Singletary took it over.
And then he kind of took it over as he was performing really well. And talk of Jake and I, we were live streaming the Ravens-Texans game last year, the playoff game. And I'm saying to myself, I'm saying to Jake, saying on stream, I don't think Devin Singletary is that good. He's kind of mid. You know, from Buffalo, they didn't really like him. They tried him out for all those years, and it never really worked. And then he went to Houston. It's kind of meh. And then, you know, you actually watch him play, and you watch that game. It's like, this guy's, you know, by the eye test, yards after contact and making some guys miss. And just, you know, a little bit of a gritty running back that does what he has to do. So, you know, so that game, I was thinking to myself, oh, the yards after contact per attempt, maybe it's around 2 or close to 2. The first 3 years of his career, yards after contact per attempt was above 2, even 2020 with 156 attempts. It was 2.9, which is like really, really good. 2021, it was 2.3. The last 2 years, 1.5 and 1.6. So that's not really great. But Bobby, here's the stat that I want to talk about the most. So the yards after contact per attempt, that was a Pro Football Reference. This is from Doug Analytics from FTN. Devin Singletary ranked 13th in missed tackles forced per rush attempt among 50 running backs with 100-plus rush attempts last year. This is the most important part. Singletary had the second most missed tackles caused by a definitive cut and the sixth most caused by a power move. I recommend everybody go check out, I'm pretty sure you posted on Instagram too, the Talker Giants Instagram where you posted Devin Singletary's highlights, and then your personal Twitter where you posted Devin Singletary's highlights. Bobby, almost every single one of those plays, Devin Singletary, whether it's before the line of scrimmage, at the line of scrimmage, within 1 to 4 yards, or even after, you know, maybe after 5 yards, Devin Singletary, very good one cut back. Mm-hmm. I think he's a good north and south runner. Doesn't really dance around, but he's makes guys miss just by
definitive.
Just a simple one cut. And I'm glad the stats kind of back that up by FTN and Doug Analytics. So I got really excited after watching that highlight clip that you posted and then seeing that stat. You know, I'm ready for the Giants running game to go into a phase of when we run the ball on early downs, we're not looking for the home run ball. I'm ready to go into a phase of when we run the ball on early downs, the goal is to get 4 or 5 yards and to avoid third and long. When we run the ball on third and short, I'm ready. Like, first down, right? If we need 2 yards, let's get 3 or 4. I'm ready to move to this phase of a Giants running game where it's about moving the chains and setting yourself up for success on early downs and then late downs, or even just avoiding third down entirely. And I think this Devin Singletary kind of channels that move where we're going to focus on success rate and we're going to focus on avoiding third down and being efficient.
Yeah, now I think with the Giants, this is a mailbag question too. I think their run game needs to find an identity, right? They need to become a better blocking unit, not just in like, oh, can you block this guy individually, but no, how do you fit this up? How do you pull this way? If this guy does this, like getting more on page, right? I think their running game has lacked an identity under Brian Daboll, besides just kind of handing the ball off to Saquon Barkley. You know, like I think they really need to practice and practice and practice, become a better run blocking unit, and have the ability to gel and understand where guys are moving. But yeah, this is the type of signing you want at the running back position of Saquon Barkley Walker. Like $5.5 million average annual value, a guy who's proven to be able to produce in the NFL. And hey, we'll see if they add anybody else to it. Eric Gray right now would be RB2. I would expect someone gets brought in on a vet minimum, and then, you know, we can't say address this in the draft because right now they only have six picks. So we can't play the, well, fill this. Like, there's a good chance they don't come out of the draft with a running back. But Devin Singletary allows you to have that flexibility. So I like that signing. Justin, the last guy we're going to talk about, which this is like a, this isn't talked about because it's, you know, it's not a skill player. It's not the highest paid offensive lineman. It's not Brian Burns. It's not like, and we're talking about it last. The Giants signed Jermaine Eluemunor from the Raiders, a tackle. 2 years, $14 million contract. I cannot believe that that's all he got. And the Giants were able to get this off for $7 million per year, Justin. He's 29 years old, 6'4", 330. Played both left and right tackle the last two seasons. Even started a game at guard. He's a strong son of a bitch, and he can play some ball. Like, he is... This is a really good signing.
I'm going to whisper something. I think this may be my favorite signing of the day.
Yeah, when you include value, like we talked about him on the free agency preview, Justin, and we're like, this is the one that pops out because he's, you know, relationship with Carmen Brasillo, which is a need. We're like, I don't know if we're going to be able to afford him. And like, this contract is really good, Justin. And what the first thing that pops off the screen on this guy, he's a strong son of a bitch, man. He is powerful, whether it's in pass blocking or run blocking. In the run game, when he works a combo block, guys get moved, right? Like him and I don't know who the right guard was, maybe Greg Van Roten for the Raiders. They double teamed Dexter Lawrence, and they were moving it, right? That doesn't happen to Dexter Lawrence on double teams. You know, using that club move on Kayvon Thibodeau, you know, bitching him up. He is really freaking strong, and it shows up in pass blocking too, right? When you watch him as a pass blocker, he just absorbs power, right? You try and work power, he absorbs it. Now, there's things that got to get cleaned up. I think he opens his hips way too early and can give up the corner. He doesn't move laterally very well, so when, you know, a guy can, like Bryce Huff, set him up where he gives him a little stutter, he goes to, you know, to protect the inside, and then Bryce Huff's are able to get through the corner. So there's a reason why he's not being paid. Like, he's not one of the best tackles in the game, but he's been a proven producer the last 2 years, starting at both left and right tackle.
Bobby, I think he moves well. I think he gets out of his stance well. I think he doesn't open his hips. I gotta watch a little bit more of him, because obviously this broke at the same time as the Brian Burns trade. But I think he's gonna start at right tackle. It may not be week one. It may not be game one. Evan Neal may go through the entire summer being the primary starting right tackle. I do think Eluemunor is going to get some starting reps in training camp at right tackle, but I think there's going to be a point, whether because Evan Neal gets injured, which he does, or because of play, I think Eluemunor is going to be starting the most games for the Giants at right tackle this year.
Pressure's on Evan Neal, right? And I'm glad the Giants went into this saying, hey, we cannot bet on Evan Neal taking a year three jump, which is something the last regime, I think, would have done. It's like, hey, we'll just bet on Evan Neal. We'll just bet on Matt Parrott.
Yeah,
you know,
and play Nate Solder instead.
Yeah, we'll put Eric Flowers at right tackle. It'll be fine. Like, there has to be insurance there. And like you said, he can if you go off last year, he's the better player, right? You know, he ranked 24th in 2023 for tackle pass blocking efficiency, but again, moving it between both left and right tackle, and then was 17th in 2022, seventh. So that's like he's 24th and 17th in those numbers, and he's, I think, a better run blocker than he is a pass blocker, and he's getting $7 million average annual value, which is the 34th highest paid tackle in the NFL. And think about how many like not good tackles there are in the NFL. And he's getting the 34th highest paid with this new inflated salary cap. This is a really good deal for the Giants. And I'm when I saw the number on that, I was very surprised that they were able to pull that off. But you know, he's a guy who comes from humble beginnings, work with Carmen Brasillo. I'm excited to get to camp and see him compete.
Yeah, and from week 5 of the 2023 season on, according to the PFF, 390 pass blocking snaps, 17 QB pressures, and one sack allowed. So, got his footing as the season went on. I'm excited. I'm excited for the value and for how much of a concern right tackle could have been this year. Because let's just, you know, again, if they wanted to go blindly into, all right, Evan Neal year three breakout. We have to do it because he's the first round pick, seventh pick of the 2022 draft. We have to do this because of the investment. They're not saying that. So I feel really good about this. I think he's a better football player than John Runyon, to be honest.
Yeah, I'd agree, which is why the $70 million per year is wild. Yeah, like, yeah, he plays a more premium position than his tackle. And
he plays it better.
and it's not like he's coming here for a guarantee. Like, Evan Neal's going to get first crack at that, right? So yeah, it's not like he's like, ah, well, I'm going to go start for Carmen Brasillo. I guess he probably had that in his head that he's going to start.
Yeah. I'm not, as my voice probably cracks for the 10th time this episode, I think Evan Neal is going to get first shot at right tackle. I'm not sold. He's going to, right?
I would bet good money that the first rep of training camp, Evan Neal is the starting right tackle.
They'll
make it a true battle.
Yeah, it may not last long, though.
Yeah, I don't think that they're going to just go through all camp like, nope, Evan Neal's the guy. If Elmenor is outproducing him and it just looks like a better player. So pressure's on Evan Neal. Like, figure this shit out now. But good on the Giants getting this done.
Yeah.
It feels like we hit all of free agency in day one.
Well, I don't think they're going to make any other big moves. I think it's going to be they can't. So, here's my last Evan Neal question to you. This maybe is a mailbag. It's a request for you. You did investigative journalism to find out if Nick Gates was learning how to snap the ball. We need some investigative journalism to find out if they have asked Evan Neal to start practicing at guard.
That actually is. I do need to get some investigative journalism there. I've been able to do that pretty well, too. People forget the 2020s offseason. It was like, who is snapping the football? And we figured that shit out. All right, Justin, that's an episode. Whoa. We'll be back.
We forgot three of the bigger moves today.
Oh, yeah. Special teamers are back, baby. Casey Kreider's back for Casey Kreider is the fourth longest tenured player on the Giants right now. Daniel Jones is number one. Dexter Lawrence is number two. And Darius Slayton is number three. They're basically all tied for one, but in order of them being drafted. And then it's the 2020 guys, which is Casey Kreider was a 2020 free agent. And then Thomas and Carter Coughlin drafted. So very glad that Casey Kreider's back to long snapper. Carter Coughlin back as a special teamer. Very, very fine with that. And then Gunnar Olszewski, the returner, is back. Three moves that we're all on board for. Michael Gabriel, fix these special teams, buddy.
I'm actually really glad Gunnar's back. Like that, I think he's the best returner we've had since Dwayne Harris.
I don't think that's even a debate.
You know, and for how much debate we had last year about what are they going to do at returner and how many wide receivers are they carrying? And they should just carry a returner, get Gary Brightwell out of here, get, you know, Darius Slayton was dropping punts against Washington, almost lost that game. So like this is, it's a very underrated, like, okay, taken care of.
Right? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Now he did have fumble issues in Pittsburgh and that's why I got cut, but please never let that happen again, old Gunnar Olszewski. All right, so that is an episode. We will be back Friday as long as there's not a big, big move. But hey, we got surprised with Darren Waller last year. We'll see what happens. We could have so many big picture conversations, but we can't do that today. So we appreciate you guys. Tell your friends about the show. I thought we did a good job breaking it all down for the kids. We will see you when we see you. Until then, let's go Big Blue.
John Boy Media has a new teammate. It's iHeart Podcast. What does it mean? John Boy Media shows can now be found over at the Dan Patrick Show. That's right. How cool is that? Wake and Jake and Jimmy's Three Things have joined the iHeart Podcast and Dan Patrick Show family. And the best part, they'll still continue to be the same shows you know and love. If you couldn't tell, we're excited about this one, and thank you guys for listening.